Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
He kōna I purangi tēnei nā te reo irirangi o Aotearoa.
It's 2010. Two brothers, aged 7 and 11, walk out of a Sudanese refugee camp in Chad, East Africa. They're carrying the family washing.
So I told my little brother, let's go do our laundry.
One of them won't come back.
There, we don't have any, like, laundry places like here. So we go down to the rivers or the oceans to wash our clothing. So we went, we washed, we swam for a bit, and then he decided he wanted to do it. He wanted to go.
Izzy tells his younger brother Eunice he's leaving.
Man, I told him walk back home. I'm going somewhere. Don't follow me.
So he told me to go back home and then just let them know so they don't get worried. So I was the messenger to go and tell the family that he has traveled.
With that, 11-year-old Izzy left on foot. He left the camp, left the country.
So I walked to a different place.
Where was that place?
Like just Cameroon, you know.
You walked to Cameroon?
It's not far. It's Chad, you know.
Hello, how are we doing today?
Good!
Fast forward to a dance space in West Auckland, Aotearoa 2023, where that same runaway boy, now a 24-year-old man, is helping a new generation of displaced people find their feet and their voices.
I'm Kadambri Raghukumar, and this is Here Now. This week, Phil Vines at an NGO in Tamaki Makaurau that uses dance and drama to help young refugees gain confidence in an often strange and confounding country for them.
Mixit is based at a suburban two-story place on a quietish road in New Lynn. For ceramics fans, not far from where they used to make Crown Lynn plates.
Kia ora. How's it going? Hi, you must be Wendy.
I am.
Wendy's been the artistic director for 19 years.
My name is Izzedine Ahmed Abdullah. I am 24 years old.
And how long have you been in New Zealand?
11 years.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been in New Zealand for 11 years. I haven't been back home since I left. So it's a long time.
11 years since Izzy was in Africa. 11 years since he came back from his walking odyssey to Cameroon. Izzy's just finished a business course. For now, he's living and working at the Mixit HQ.
I see you get to sleep here as well.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Temporarily.
Yeah.
Temporarily, says Wendy.
A single bed in a light, medium-sized room.
Got a mic in the corner and a tambourine and a guitar and three phones. You really need three phones, Izzy?
Izzy's got plenty of irons in the fire.
Our business is booming.
Rap music, screen-printed T-shirts, and his youth work.
Why do you want to help the youth?
Like, youth grow too fast, so they forget the youth side. So my job, or our job, is making sure the youth don't lose their youth side. They can still grow slowly.
They don't grow up too quickly.
Yeah. And they can be like creative as they want.
Izzy knows what it's like to grow up quickly. I wanted to know more about why he left his family at the refugee camp in Chad. He explained that his father had died from illness. Izzy and his dad were close.
And he was like my best friend. When he passed away, I just didn't feel like being in that area. The best way was like me leaving the place or me committing suicide. You know, because I didn't feel like I belonged there. I didn't feel like I was alive. So I decided to go to another place.
Not wanting to visit his deep sadness on his family, he took himself off for 2 whole years.
And there's no phone to communicate, by the way, you know. They don't know, my family don't know where I'm at. But I know where they are.
Yeah.
And after two
Your
years...
Your mum must have been so worried about
she
you.
She was.
How old were she you
was.
Then?
I left when I was 11. I came back when I was 13, so... Yeah.
And you just went on your own?
Of course, like...
When Izzy returned, he learned his family had been offered a refugee placement in New Zealand, a country he'd never heard of. Touching down in Tamaki Makaurau in the middle of the night, Izzy and his four siblings got something of a fright.
So when we landed, like, we had a whole, like, people coming doing haka. Now we're surprised because we never seen this before. It was scary because we were kids at that time. We were like, whoa, we're going hiding behind our moms. And we were like, what is this? Like, what we got ourselves into?
New Zealand takes 1,500 refugees a year. According to the latest census, there are 231 Sudanese living here, mainly from the south. Izzy's family are the only people from Darfur in West Sudan.
Does that make it a bit more difficult?
It does. I mean, so the language that we speak is called Masalit. In this country, no one speaks it.
No?
No one.
It wasn't until Izzy got to New Zealand, he says, that people pointed out the colour of his skin.
I learned racism in this country.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, in Chad growing up, we had a lot of white people around, too.
Yeah.
And they were no racist to us. But no one comes and tell you what colour you are or what you are, because you already know what you are.
Yeah.
But when I came to New Zealand, going to school, and someone comes and call me black... And I was like, whoa, I really know that, but I don't need to hear it, you know? And it kept happening. And I was fighting all the time, all the time because of that.
So you were physically fighting people that were racist to you?
Yes.
Fair to say school wasn't going brilliantly. Then a friend told him about this place where young refugees go to do drama and dance. At 15, Izzy says he was angry and shy.
The first session I attend, they were dancing. And...
Sort of dance was it?
It was just, I think, contemporary. I mean, I love dancing, but like every mixer session you go to, like, there's always music and we always start with a dance. And it doesn't matter what topic we're doing, we always start with a dance. And I wanted to dance, but I'm too shy because I don't know no one. I was
and how old are you then?
I was 15, okay. 16, somewhere
that's
there.
That's a pretty hard age to walk into a group of strangers and start
dancing,
eh?
Yeah, and I was like, whoa. But the next week when I came back, it's like I know everybody.
Okay.
You know? And then my confidence just grew.
At Mixit, he became a group leader and then an alumni. Now he works for them. He's invited us along to one of their Saturday classes. An upstairs dance studio with a United Nations of cultures.
How many people are going to be here, do you think?
I think around 25. But some are still coming, but...
That's Izzy's younger brother, Eunice, the 7-year-old boy from down by the river. Up here, they're pretty much all whānau, wherever they're from.
Oh, Izzy's... He's a brother from another mother.
Sujan's from India.
Yeah, he's just awesome. He's so talented. He does so many different things, and I look up to him. He's definitely an inspiration.
Rana's of Iraqi and Syrian extraction.
He is really shy, but he uses that as a strength when it comes to Mixit, and you can see he really holds the space with his creativity and his silent leadership.
Mixit uses games as an icebreaker. First, a playground favourite, Foursquare.
Basically, this game is the same game as we call handball in high school.
Everyone's pretty smiley, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have to. This is the place why everybody just come and be themselves, you know?
Yeah.
Whatever we're going on in our day-to-day life, on Saturdays, we forget about it. We like different plays, creative zone.
It's all pretty high energy, teenagers bursting with enthusiasm in a non-judgmental zone where they can mentally relax and physically let go. Then there's a kind of Simon Says game taken by Rana where you have to move your arms to the right place on command. By definition, most of these young New Zealanders started life in a refugee camp or a war zone.
The sound of a hard-earned peace agreement falling apart.
The fighting's been very intense in Izzy's home country of Sudan. While the world's attention has been focused on Ukraine and Gaza, between May and October last year, an estimated 10,000 Sudanese were killed. Izzy says he avoids the news and learns what's going on from WhatsApp.
Like, we got family group chat where they inform us everything that happened. Like, I think it was 2 months ago, like, over 21 of my family got killed in that genocide.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, so it's just happening every day. So, like, and family been showing us there for a long time. I just, like, for me, like, I get sad and I don't like showing my emotions. And in that case, like, I always tell my mom, like, I don't want to see it. But I do storytelling and I try to, like, explain what's happening there, here, but it's hard, you know.
This year, 1.3 million more refugees have fled Sudan. 4.8 million people have been internally displaced.
Over 35 years, they're just doing the same thing over and over. People go start a new life and they'll come and kill them again. They go start a new one. They come and burn their houses. Yeah.
You find that hard to understand?
I mean, of course. Like, I'm in this country where, like, these people never met me before. But when we go here, they did welcome us. And then they gave us a house. I go to school. Like, I can go anywhere in this country freely, you know. But these are not my people, but they became my people.
Both brothers are keen to return home. Though Yunus is cautious.
I definitely want to go back. I've always wanted to go back. There's like, I mean, everybody, even my mom wants to go back and live there, but it's about whether it's safe to go back or not.
Yeah, there's a big war going on there right now.
Yeah, so like, it's always, I mean, everybody wants to go back home. Nobody wants to be in someone else's country forever. But it's more about whether my home is more safer or the country that invited me is more safer for me. You can't, like, because they're the ones that are protecting me right now. And if I go home and lose my life, then all the achievements that I've got in New Zealand, all the things that I said I'll do for my mom, I might not achieve it, you know?
In the studio, the rooms become a mass of swirling youth and dress-ups. They're lip-syncing, great for radio and podcasting, to some pretty mainstream anthems. But it's the dance and drama that Izzy learnt at Mix It that's had the biggest impact on his new life, getting him out of trouble and into helping others, maybe even saved him.
They show me a different way of, like, surviving or living, you know. Like, they kind of unlock my creative side inside that's been hidden. And, yeah, I don't think with that Mix It, I would be where I am today. From, like, because I didn't tell you this, but before I joined them, like, I was kind of not going to school or kicked out because of the fighting. And when I come here, like, it was like I haven't had a fight since I joined Mix It. Or, like, even going to altercation with someone. So they told me to be humble, learn every day, and, like, treat people the way you wanted to be treated. And, yeah, life is just full of learnings. Like, there's obstacles where we jump over and we just carry on. Yeah.
Keep jumping.
Yeah.
That was Phil Ryan with this week's episode of Here Now. My name's Kadambri Raghukumar, and I'll be back next week. Thanks for listening.